You're listening to the Self-Made is a Myth, Make a Difference Together show with your host, Coach Tim Campsall, where we talk with successful business owners to hear the stories of their journeys in building their successful businesses. And more importantly, we recognize the folks who help them excel because we know that achieving business success is not something we can do on our own.
Hello, this is Coach Tim Campsall, and I'm excited to have a fellow business owner from Indiana with us today. Something unique about my guest is he attended 16 years of private school, and in his downtime, he enjoys doing jiu-jitsu, and he's been doing martial arts for about 9 years, and he's most proud of his kids, and we'll have him tell us a little bit more about his family here in a minute. It's my pleasure to welcome Mike to the show today. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Tim. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, hey, let's start with having you introduce yourself. Tell us your full name and a little bit of your personal story, like where you're born and live and about your family.
Okay. Full name, Michael C. Dickerson, as you can see on the bottom of the screen. Grew up in Northwest Indiana, went off to Wabash College after that, got an economics major. I met my wife when I was senior in college when I was visiting a friend in Indianapolis. And that's what ultimately caused me to come to Indianapolis. We've been together for 24 years now, and I've got two kids. And by the time this actually airs, they will be 14 and 16 years old. So full into the teenage years.
Yeah.
I guess in my spare time, I'm just an unpaid Uber driver because I do multiple sports. Right now, both are on two soccer teams, and they're training for Karate Nationals in July. So they actually compete very, very high level in those areas. And as for me, I do coaching for soccer. I do coaching for basketball. And then obviously I do a little bit of jiu-jitsu and karate on the side as well, if I get time.
Fantastic. Wonderful. So, Mike, is there a funny story that your family likes to tell about you that you'd be willing to share with us today?
Oh, I like this question, Tim. And the willing to share part was something I was questionable over, but I'm going to share it for you. We do a fish fry most years, except for a couple of COVID years. We tried to do it right before Easter, and we were having a fish fry the Friday before Easter. And one of my good friends brought his newest girlfriend at the time to that fish fry. And she was talking about how she wanted her hair to be a little bit shorter. And he goes, well, I don't think I like you with shorter hair. And she goes, well, I want shorter hair. And I, of course, offered. And I said, I'll cut it. She goes, okay. And she made the mistake of sitting down and holding her hair in a ponytail. And my brother went to tell on me to my wife. And she didn't get there in time. And I took some kitchen shears because that's all I had. And I cut her hair right where she was showing me on her ponytail. Tim, to tell you the truth, like as my amateur hairstylist, I wasn't that bad at cutting it. It was actually when I tried to fix it, that was the issue. And that made it worse. And she had to go to her boyfriend's family for Easter 2 days later with her newly cut hair by me. So, yeah, every year I kind of send her a text saying, hey, you know, are you ready for a new trim? And she doesn't respond. I don't know why.
I don't know either. I was hoping maybe this could be a good side hustle for you, but maybe not.
You know, the unpaid Uber thing, the hairstylist, I think I need to stick to the financial planning side. <You're
right. laughs> Mike, tell us, how did the business come about? And at what point did you have the confidence that you could run your own business?
Yep. I graduated from Wabash in 2000 with a degree in economics. While I was at Wabash, I actually interned with Merrill Lynch. And at that point, I knew I loved the industry. Merrill is a good company. It's just not what I wanted. And so at that point, I started taking extra classes during the summer for financial planning. I took them at Purdue, Cal, and IU Northwest, knowing that I was going to go into the industry. I started with a company in 2000. And they trained me, they got me ready. And, you know, 3-4 years in, I started feeling pretty confident about myself and what I can do. And then about 7 years in, the CEO of the company had a brain aneurysm and he lived. And he took all 250 reps across the entire country and he sold us into our back office at that point, and they took us independent. So they took away our health insurance. They took away our retirement plan. You know, I can jump my wife's health insurance. I can write my own retirement plan. So the confidence to actually run my business, they kind of gave me a base.
Yeah.
But in all reality, I was kind of thrown to the wolves at that point, and I had to kind of figure it out in 2007 and 2008, which obviously was a market crash.
Yeah.
So we had a market crash in 2008, and at the same time, I was independent, and at the same time, I had a baby in May of 2008. So at that point, if I could get through all of 2008, the market crash, a baby, and being independent on my own, I had all the confidence after that point to handle anything the industry threw at me, because that was a hard, hard year.
I can only imagine. Wow. Nothing like just jumping in and figuring it out as you go, right?
Yeah, the company I was with gave us a really good base to teach us how to be entrepreneurs, and teach us how to run a business, and then train us to be financial planners. But at the same time, when you have that company backing you up, you kind of feel good. You don't have to worry about all the running a business side, but once you have to start figuring it out, you're just like, okay, now I got to do this as well.
Yeah.
that takes a lot, which is, what you're for. So,
yeah. Tell us more about the company. What's the name? What do you guys do? How do you help people?
Yep. I run Engage Financial Group. We've been around for 24 years, as I mentioned. We do comprehensive financial planning in a fiduciary style. So we work with someone from what they say they want to do, what they want to accomplish. We look at where they are right now, and we help them create a path to get to that next step in life. And then over time, we factor in the different changes that are going to happen, because nothing's a smooth path going straight up over time. It'll be variable, and peaks and troughs will happen. Different things will happen. So we need to plan for that and adjust accordingly and make sure they reach their goal. We are fiduciaries. So that means we not only have an ethical obligation to do what's in your best interest, we actually have a legal obligation to do what's in your best interest. And if we can't do what's in your best interest, we actually have to tell you so, so that you can have it. As you can see at the bottom of my screen, I've also got a few letters after my name, a bunch of credentials. I kind of have gone with the idea that I want to know more than most financial advisors out there. So I'm increasing my education every chance I get to make sure that I'm trying to be the best I can for my clients.
I love that fiduciary responsibility, because a lot of us, we just don't know what we don't know. And so understanding that you have to do what's right for your clients versus what's right for you, and it just gives another level and layer of confidence and trust in the relationship.
And it's needed.
Yes. Yes. Not all financial people are created equally.
Yes. So you need to make sure you trust them and that they're doing the best for you that they can do.
Hey, Michael, share a story where someone pushed or inspired you that you could do it, and the impact that had on you.
I kind of reference my father in a lot of senses when people ask me questions like that. My father and grandfather ran independent pharmacies for 50, 60 years growing up. And my father had a medical building where he had his pharmacy inside of it as well. And I kind of remember, like, I was in high school and it was like 2 a.m. and the basement of the medical building had flooded. Ooh. And it was school night. And I got pulled out of bed at 2 a.m. and I was cleaning up a basement. Because that's what you do as a business owner. Something comes up, you're going in there and you're fixing things and you're trying to adjust.
Yeah.
Just like in financial planning, something's always going to come up and you just have to work through it to accomplish your end goal. And I think running a family business, that was really important, but also seeing like the customer service my grandfather did and the relationships he had with people walking into a pharmacy, and my father, people still remember him years and years later. That leaves that imprint on you. When I was working there, just to say, hey, make sure your customer service is really up to par, and over time that'll take care of you.
That's fantastic. What a unique experience to be able to see a couple generations of business owners to, allow you to have, some of that learning going into running your own business.
And in all reality, of the five kids, none of us are pharmacy. pharmacist.
Yeah,
we didn't follow in those footsteps.
Yeah, the waking up at 2 a.m. right was a little bit of a turnoff.
Yeah, that might have done it. I've got my sister's a doctor in chemistry. That's probably the closest. And my brother works at a pharmacy as a manager. But none of us want to be pharmacists.
Mike, what's your biggest learning as a business owner?
I think you said it earlier. You don't know what you don't know. I saw a quote the other day, and I've heard the quote multiple times, and you've heard it too. If you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room. And I think that's really important. As a business, you have to be continuously learning to be better. You have to be better as a financial planner. You have to be better at running a business. You have to be better at adjusting to the changes that every business is going to have. No business is going to be the same 5 or 10 years from now. No business is the same as it was 5 or 10 years ago. And I think you need to just be able to learn constantly to make sure that you're getting better and you're taking care of the people around you.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's another phrase out there that ties into here is that you're either growing or you're dying. And so as a business owner, if you're not doing what you just talked about, right, if we're not continuing to learn and develop and become better versions of ourselves, then we're actually metaphorically dying because, you know, other people are growing and becoming better and technology is changing and industries are changing. And so we definitely have to keep up to that, or we end up finding ourselves behind our competition and end up, our business ends up shrinking.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So, hey, we know that business success doesn't happen in isolation. So tell us about one of your biggest challenges during the years and someone else who, you know, came alongside you and helped you through that.
I'm going to go back to 2008. I think that's the one year that every financial advisor still got like post-traumatic stress from. It's actually been diagnosed for a few people. 2008 was a hard, hard year. And, I was completely independent at that point. We had just been independent for a few months before then. I was having a baby in May and the market started crashing. And a guy named Scott Koga, who's kind of disappeared since he left the industry, told me really simple. Yeah, don't worry about growing. All you need to do is worry about keeping the clients you have and taking care of them and talking to them. Mm. A lot of financial advisors went and stuck their heads in the sand at that time. They disappeared. And legitimately so. Stress was really, really high for a lot of financial advisors. I made an effort to make sure I was calling everybody. I was emailing everybody, probably a little bit more than they wanted. just because, you know, to tell them, hey, you know, this is okay. You know, it's either you buy canned goods and guns or you leave your money alone or you put more money in. And if you buy canned goods and guns, you know, that's not going to work out for you. It's not going to work out for the entire country. So the market will recover. We'll be okay. We just need to, you know, focus on the long term at that point. And I think, you know, from that, you know, we lost two clients. One lost their job, had to take the money. One I had to let go. But two clients in the entire 2008 was amazing.
Wow.
And we were able to keep, you know, 99.9% of the clients, and we were in a pretty good spot. And we actually ended up having about 26% growth that year because I was a lot more proactive in talking to people and making sure they knew what was going to happen with the market.
That's fantastic. Good for you for taking that initiative. You know, there's a statistic out there that talks about why do most customers leave or clients leave where they're currently, you know, have their business. And it's because of a perceived indifference, where they don't think that the company or the person that they're working with cares about them. So the story you just shared, right, is you went over and above to show your clients that you cared about them and that you were there for them through that difficult times. What an awesome, you know, story and insight for others listening today.
Well, I think most business owners need to know that, hey, you know, your clients are, you know, you're trying to take care of them to the very best that you possibly can. And you know, when they go through things, you feel it, you take it home with you at night. And at the same time, you know, what they go through, you know, affects your life as well. You know, so it's kind of like a symbiotic relationship. You know, clients do well, we do well.
Yeah.
Clients do poorly, we do poorly, both emotionally and financially.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I love that that you have that caring attitude, right? That there, it's not just a number, it's a personal relationship, and it's, you know, and it's symbiotic in terms of, right, you're there for each other. So that's awesome. Hey, Mike, if I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, if I was to ask you to pick three people in your business owner journey that you feel they had the most impact on helping you to get to your business's growth, and, you know, the three folks you're most grateful for, who are those three people and how they help you?
I've heard you ask this question in multiple different webcasts, and I knew it was going to come. and there's a lot. I've got past employees like David Smith and Hannah and others, my current employees, you know, teachers and professors and other financial advisors that I bounce ideas off on a regular basis. But I knew three. I kind of talked a little bit about two of them. The first one, my dad, obviously, you know, my parents were able to give me an educational foundation and a good foundation of being a good person throughout my life. And what I saw him doing with customer service and what he did for his business and how he did it, I think that was a really good influence to my life in general. And I try to be the best I can from what I've learned and those lessons as for life. Second one, like I said, the guy kind of disappeared, but I sent him an email years ago and it just kind of bounced back. You know, trying to just thank him. But I can't even find him on social media or anything. That was just really strange. But his name is Scott Koga. And there were lessons that he taught us as a manager that from the retreats and business meetings that we had that I still use not only in my business, that I use for clients, that I use for my family life, of how to work with people in different aspects and the DISC profiles and different aspects of how to identify people, how to properly work with them. You know, so that they can be the best that they can be. And it's been sad that he's kind of disappeared out of my life. At the same time, you know, he had other goals that he wanted to accomplish. Like, you know, for what he taught me, he made me a better advisor. He made me a better, you know, business owner. He made me a better husband and made me a better father. And I greatly do appreciate that. The last one, and I don't think anybody can get away with not saying this, is their significant other. And my wife, Rebecca, she's put up with me for 24 years, because, you know, that's hard. You know, as a business owner, you're going to come home on a regular basis and you're going to be beat up. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to have hard days. You're going to have good days. But if you don't have that person at home or somebody in your life sitting there holding you up or reminding you that, just like financial planning, it's not about the short-term peaks and valleys that you go through. It's about the long-term goal that you want to accomplish. Someone that can just support you in that time frame. You know, I told her I wasn't going to get engaged until I was could financially support her. I wasn't going to have kids until I could financially support them. And because of that, you know, she put her life on hold. She did, you know, a lot of things. And, you know, 24 years later, you know, we're going strong with two wonderful kids. And you know, it's kind of nice to have knowing that, hey, we built a really successful firm, you know, knowing that she was behind me the entire time. And I'm able to bounce ideas off her because she's, you know, moving up with Old National Bank. And so, you know, I can kind of say, hey, what's the corporate world really doing for this or that?
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
It is so important to have that foundation and that support. So I'm so happy for you that you have had Rebecca in your life to help you through that. Cause you're right. You know, the business owner journey can be, you know, a little bit rocky at times, right? There's the peaks and the valleys or the roller coaster ride. So yeah, having that support and that strength and that rock at home to be able to lean on and prop us up and, you know, tell us that it's going to be okay. And, you know, sometimes when we don't believe it ourselves, being able to have, you know, someone else speak that truth into us, it's amazing, isn't it?
You know, Tim, think of it the other way. If you came home and someone was like, you just had a horrible day, and someone's like, oh man, that stinks, you know, you should just quit. You know, go do something else. Like, I've seen multiple financial advisors fail because they did not have the support of somebody behind them.
Yeah.
Because running a business is hard.
Yeah.
And you need someone to sit there and say, sometimes you need someone to sit there and say, suck it up.
Yeah.
Go do your job. You know, be better. Yeah. Get to your final goal.
Yeah. We don't want somebody to tell us we should quit because there's times where we're already thinking that we should quit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As we think about the next 1 to 3 years, Mike, and what would you say is your number one priority or the biggest challenge that you see in achieving your goals?
Right now, I've kind of created a firm where we're creating that team environment where people are falling into the right roles, and we're trying to put people in those roles that they can meet the needs that we have from the customer service to the administrative side. So the next couple of years, my goal is to hire a couple of junior advisors and start them on the path that I've gone on. I think we've grown to a level where we're comfortable and we're doing well. And so now we just need to kind of fit those pieces in. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, you want to get to a point, as you teach your clients, I'm sure, where you're working on your business and you don't want to be focused on the day-to-day activities. You want to just do what you're really, really good at. I'm really, really good at meeting with clients and telling them what to do. My paperwork and stuff like that, you know, I let somebody else do.
Yeah.
So I want to get to a point where, you know, because things happen, eventually you end up back in the thick of things. And, you know, you want to get to a point where you're doing less for the business and just working with what you do well.
Yeah.
And so by hiring a couple of junior advisors in the next couple of years, I think that'll fill in all the pieces that we need to be successful in the next 20, 30 years.
I love what you're saying about, you know, focusing on the things that you're great at and delegating the things that you aren't. Because when we're a new business owner, we have to do everything. And it's just the inevitableness of starting a business from scratch. But then as we get into it, right, there are things that aren't worth our time spending on, right? So one of the things we have our clients do is map out, right, what's your worth to the organization. And so an easy way to do that for folks listening is take your annual revenue and divide by 2,000 hours, and that gives you your hourly worth. So if you're a $500,000 business, your hourly worth is $250. Yep. If you're a $1 million business, it's $500. So then you look at, all right, why am I doing all these $20, $25, $50 an hour jobs that I should be delegating so that I can be working on, you know, the big opportunities?
Yep, that's exactly right. You know, if you divide it and you're like, why am I filling out this paperwork when somebody else can do it? Or when I could simply, you know, let somebody else do it and I can go to my kid's soccer game.
Sure.
You know, or, you know, enjoy what I've built over time. You know, so you want to make sure that you're doing what is going to benefit the firm the most.
Absolutely. And having those, I like the hiring the junior people so that they can grow up and over time take on more and more, so that, you know, I've had clients who haven't taken vacation in 12 years, right? And that's no way to live life, right? Business should give us more life. We shouldn't be, you know, living to work.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Hey, last question here. Mike, Jim Rohn, an amazing business guru, says that we become the average of the five people that we spend the most time with. So similar to what you were saying earlier about if you're the smartest person in the room. So as you think about Jim's quote, what advice would you have for business owners who are trying to do it on their own and not inviting others into their world to help them?
Do the opposite, invite others into the world to help you. I think as a business owner, you have to constantly learn. You know, if you're starting out, you have to work harder than everybody. You have to learn more than everybody. Later on in life, you need to make sure you're getting the education to make sure that you're at the top of your field. But you constantly need to learn to be a business. So not only being a financial planner, but also being a business owner and listen to others that are business owners on a regular basis, listen to webinars, using a coach, making sure the people around you are telling you what you need to be to tweak the little things in your life that can make a big difference over 5 or 10 years.
Yes.
it's amazing, like the tiniest little change that you can make significant differences in 5 or 10 or 15 years.
Yes.
And so definitely put the people in your life so that you're not the smartest person in the room and that you're going out and getting the advice that you need, because business also changes. Mm. So what you learn this year and what will benefit you will be completely different in 2 years and completely different in 5 years with the changes in technology and the changes in your own industry. Yeah. So you have to constantly be learning and reading and listening to coaches on whatever you can do to get better so that you're not the one falling behind, like you mentioned before.
I like the dual approach. So you talked both about being a continuing to evolve and become better at your within your specific industry. So your art or your craft or your trade, but then also you talked about becoming a better business owner. So give a little bit more context to how do you balance the two?
That's where the coach comes in, right, Tim?
Fair enough. Yeah.
So I love learning. I really do. I love listening to webinars on how to do things. I love listening to different topics in financial planning. Those are the things I like to learn because I can help clients more. I like being a financial planner. Yeah. As a business owner, you know, those are things you have to make yourself do. You have to make yourself learn so that you're running the things properly mm-hmm. for the long term so that things can improve over 1, 3 years, 5 years. So your lifestyle balance is, you know, better. Yeah. So you're working less in your business and more, you know, on your business. So, you know, how to run the business is really, really important. And, you know, I like learning it, but being really good at a financial planner, like it's a hard balance. I'll tell you that. Cause you want to do the financial planning side. And at the same time, you know, you still have to you know, be a good business owner.
Yeah. And it's a natural challenge because most of us who have gone into business for ourselves did so because we love, you know, the thing that we're doing, right? Whether that's financial planning or coaching or being an electrician or a plumber or a doctor, right? That's our passion. And so the running the business side isn't necessarily why we became a business owner, but it's certainly critically important to run a healthy, you know, business that can deliver profit and sustain itself. And I like what you said earlier, you know, if we look at making an adjustment, right, a 1% or a 5% improvement in 100 different areas, you know, that's a whole lot easier than trying to make a 50% improvement in one area. So that long-term benefit that you spoke of you continuously making tweaks and adjustments, and then there's that long-term benefit of those.
As you can tell, I'm a financial planner. Right. Over time, will benefit you in the long run.
Yeah, don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? Yep. Make sure you're diversifying your efforts. Same thing that we coach our clients. I love it.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, it sounds like you've been blessed with some incredible people who have been part of your journey. If they were all on the show today, what would you want to say to them?
Thank you. Real simple, you know, from some of past employees, current employees, my family, people have trained me and coached me over the years. I would not be in this industry for 24 years and have a pretty successful firm without you. I greatly appreciate every single one of you. And I remember hiring my first employee and somebody told me, hey, you hire your first employee and you'll grow this much. And it was substantial and it was true. And I greatly appreciate all the advice I've gotten over the years. I greatly appreciate all the people who have helped me. You know, at this point we built a pretty successful firm. We're trying to keep going. And I could not imagine 15 years ago being in the position that I am right now, especially because, you know, I guess it was a little over 15 years ago, I was, you know, with a company and then I went independent. So all the goals and dreams I've ever had, I couldn't even think of 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, now to see where I am, it's kind of nice. You know, people always focus on, you know, what do I do right now to improve, you know, later, but sometimes you need to appreciate where you are right now and be like, man, 15, 20 years ago, I couldn't have, this is what I ideally wanted. And so sometimes you have to enjoy it too.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Well, it's so important to enjoy the day to day and be have gratitude for all the things that have happened. The mistake that we can make is focus on all the negatives and get paralyzed by the negatives. I just love your philosophy and your outlook and your perspective of, you know, things are great and they're going to get better and we're going to keep improving.
Yep.
Awesome. Mike, it was awesome to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Really appreciate the opportunity to chat and learn from you.
Awesome, Tim. I greatly appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Self-Made is a Myth show. Please help spread this movement by liking and subscribing to our show and following us on Facebook and LinkedIn. To join our movement, go to bemadtogether.com. Okay, folks, that's a wrap. Please pay it forward and be sure to tune in next time to the Self-Made is a Myth podcast.